Brexit shocked the world when Britain took a vote to leave the European Union. Everybody was concerned, what's going to happen? The commentators and the professionals began to give their take on the matter. The pundits and the bloggers began to chime in. Some said it was due to the immigration, open borders, where one could get in an automobile and ride through five countries in about 2 hours' time. I'm sure that you have seen the barrage of the refugees who risking life find themselves perishing into the ocean, into the seas in order to get to a better land. But what they missed, sure, all of those things had a play, played into the situation. What they missed is what you and I know about Brexit. We know through prophecy that God was sending a reminder. A reminder that he sits high, but he looks low. A reminder that you and I can put confidence and faith in his word. Over 2,600 years ago, a Babylonian king lie resting in his bed thinking about what was going to happen. And God gave him a dream as to what was going to happen in the latter days. I know you're familiar with the story. The king called of his wise men, soothsayers, and asked him to give him the dream that he had and an interpretation thereof. Those fat cats were fooling the king, living the life of Riley at the king's expense. They didn't know anything, and they couldn't do anything. The king said, tell me what the dream is, and what does it mean? Now, that put him on the spot. Said, now, king, look, what you asking us to do, no man, not even the gods could tell you that. Tell us what you dreamed, and then we'll give you the interpretation of it. King got infuriated over the matter, so that dream troubled him. So he said, your head will belong to me now. If you can't come up with the dream that I had and an interpretation to the dream. Well, God always has his people. Daniel received word about it, said, look, king, give us a little time. Huh? And then we'll bring you the dream and the interpretation thereof. He had a prayer meeting with his three friends that was taken into Babylonian custody and put in place in bondage. They had a powerful prayer meeting. And Daniel, as he lay on his bed, the Lord revealed to him the dream that the king had and the interpretation thereof. And Daniel woke up and said, let me go in to the king so I can give him the dream that he had and an interpretation. So he was taken into the courtyard to the king. But notice Daniel didn't do what many of us would have done. Hey, King, I want you to know I got everything taken under control. But Daniel said there is a God in heaven that revealed his secrets, and he has given me the answer to your question. And he went on to tell him, thou, King, art the king of gold, the head of gold. But after you, inferior nation is going to come on the scene. And after that, another nation shall come. And another. And he went on to break down the different metals, inferior one to another. The legs of iron, the feet part iron and part clay, symbolizing the fact that they shall not cleave one with the other. And I want you to know, a month ago, the God of heaven, in the breakup of Great Britain from the European Union, fulfilled that particular part of the dream. They shall not cleave one for another. 40 years have passed since the European Union came into being. For the most part, there were no borders between those countries, that 28 countries that made up the European Union. 40 years, they all had just about the same currency, the euro, everything running smooth. And out of nowhere, a vote was taken. Now the fallout was immediate. Stock market began to react. The Dow went down. And some of us, we have 401ks and funds in the stock market. Our assets plummeted. The dollar went up in value, and the pound went down in value. Chaos and confusion gripped the world. Legislative bodies were called together by the leaders of the different countries. But you and I know that the God of heaven had already foretold what was going to happen. 2,600 years ago, that they should not cleave one to another. Now, God allows this as a reminder, not just to the world, but to us, you and I. Where are we in the stream of time? Because we are told in Daniel, the second chapter, verse 41, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, and the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength of iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and the toes and the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever. Friends of mine, I suggest to you today that we are literally on the very toenails of the key of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Where are we in the stream of time? Very toenails of it. Because there was a stone that was hewed out without hand and smote the angel, the image on his feet. God, that referred to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Lets us know, it's a reminder to you and I that time is running out. God always sends reminders of the things that you and I so easily forget. It was a reminder that the God of heaven does not go guessing about anything. He says over in Isaiah 46, I am God and there is none other. I am God declaring the end from the beginning. So today, in the midst of all of the folly, the play and counterplay that's taken place before our very eyes, you and I need to go back, restudy the prophecies of old, that we might get a clearer understanding and be motivated to recognize that time is short. Not just dealing with what was taking place in the then and there, but we have to fast forward to the here and now. Just as in Daniel's time, we look forward to that second coming of Jesus Christ. God sends us other reminders of how we ought to behave ourselves in these last. The communion service that we're about to partake of today is just a reminder of what has taken place, what is taking place now, and what is going to take place in the future. I feel many times we go through the ritual, coming, taking our crumbs of bread and the sup of the juice, ritualistic, unaware of what the true meaning is. But Jesus let us know in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 26 through 29. He lets us know that as he took the bread and broke it, that he transitioned from the Passover ceremony and instituted the communion service after he had washed the disciples' feet. As a reminder that these were sacred emblems that were representative of his broken body in our behalf. And then he took the cup and told them to drink all of it because it was emblematic of his shed blood. Now, we must do this through faith. We look back upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, who shed his life blood in our behalf for the remission of sin. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood of bullocks and goats and turtle doves will not atone for your sins and mine. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So as we partake of the blood of Jesus, let us be mindful of the fact that we are not celebrating a dead hero. We are celebrating a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living because he lives within my heart. Let us also not remain static. Because as I told you just prior to now, just before, we can see where we are in the stream of time. We also look forward because Jesus said on that same occasion, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until I do so in glory, in heaven. So we look forward to gathering together at the welcome table when Jesus himself shall serve us a communion. He said, I'm not going to drink of it or partake of it until I do it in heaven. So we look forward. We look back upon the crucifixion. We look forward to the second coming of Jesus. So as we partake, let us also look forward to that day when we see our Lord and Savior coming in the clouds of glory. When he shall speak to the north and say, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Oh, what a great and grand reunion is that going to be. When the saints of all ages from Adam's time down to the end of time shall arise out of their dust. Oh, that's going to be a great and grand occasion. Caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, where we shall be ever be with the Lord. May Lord help us today as we partake of these sacred things to recognize the great sacrifice that was made for our salvation. May we glorify God. May we partake of it worthily, lest we bring damnation upon our souls. May we examine ourselves, not somebody else, to see whether we are where we ought to be. And glorify him, not just on these occasions. We try to make things right. But day by day to live a holy and righteous life. Studying his word and prayerfully asking for the power to resist the evil one until we find ourselves standing on a sea of glass, singing the songs of Moses and the Lamb, telling the story of how we got over. May this be our happy life, because we ask it all in the word and name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.